Hi, I'm Ivana.
And I'm Jay.
And you're listening to Friends with Elephants.
A show for a cool nerd in you. Nope. A show for the cool
Nope.
A show for the cool nerd in you.
Yeah. It's season 2, episode 23. We are here with a quick mini-sode for y'all. Just a little one, but we have two fantastic segments, so let's get to it.
It's time for a nerd battle.
It's been a while since we've done one of these.
You know, I was scared to come back to this after we did the worst bosses on TV.
Mm-hmm.
Because you just destroyed me, I think. Like, in my head, you destroyed me.
I'm going to destroy you,
too. Or was it that, or was it the Ted Mosby one? Maybe it was the Ted Mosby one.
It was the Ted Mosby one. Yeah. But today, just get ready to go down.
So, Suicide Squad, huge DC movie.
Coming out.
Friday. So, we thought, okay, well, who's the best villain of all time in the world of cinema?
Who's yours?
I'm going with the Wicked Witch of the West.
From Wizard of Oz.
From the Wizard of Oz.
Mm.
And what about you?
I'm going with the Joker. From The Dark Knight.
Ooh, see, I may die again. Die a nerd battle death. When you think of a bad guy, when you think of somebody who is just pure evil, the green face of Margaret Hamilton playing the Wicked Witch, I mean, after this movie came out in 1939, all other witches at Halloween had the green face and the cackly voice and were evil beyond measure. And I feel like that is an iconic villain.
You're right. She's absolutely iconic. I'm melting. But she's not like earth-shatteringly brilliant as the villain. And I think that Heath Ledger playing the Joker really, truly is. I think that the best villains and the best bad guys themselves are actually good guys in their own minds. They have their moral compass pointed in the wrong direction, but they are super staunch about going towards their moral compass. And that's exactly the character that he created. For him, it was the beauty of anarchy and the idea that rules stifle who we are and who we could become is what he's fighting for. He's fighting for the freedom that comes with chaos. And in fact, one of my favorite quotes of his, he literally says, "Chaos is fair."
Yeah.
I think that's what he's fighting for. In his mind, all he wants is to create a world of fairness. And he thinks that the world that we live in, the world of rules, the world of modern society, it's stacked against the little guy. And he wants to break those shackles. Free society, free humanity to be whoever they want to be.
See,
empower
I disagree.
Them.
I think the Joker is batshit crazy and says anything that he wants to say in any given moment. There's no consistency to the Joker because his brain is a bag of cats.
I disagree. He's so consistent the entire time.
No, he may have a plan. He may have schemes. But there is no consistency except I really like the Batman and I really want to fuck with him. That's my whole consistent line where the greatest villains of the real world are awful dictators. People like Hitler, people like Saddam Hussein who rule with the iron fist. From the Emerald City to Munchkin Land, nobody would stand up to the Wicked Witch because it's terrifying. It takes a full-blown outsider in Dorothy to even do that. And Dorothy, in the presence of the witch, can't even be angry. She's so afraid at all times. And let's not forget, the Wicked Witch in The Wizard of Oz is also Miss Almira Gulch, who is literally trying to steal and kill dogs because people are happy. This is bananas.
Yeah, she is so unrealistic. And I would venture to say that
all she wants to do is take over all of Oz. That's not real. We've had People in history try to do that to the world.
Yeah, but they all think that they're doing it for some better good. Like, they convince themselves that they're fighting for the little man. And I would say that, let's say we were back in the French Revolution, if we want to go into the real world, the world revolted. France became ensconced in chaos. They said, no more of this bourgeoisie bull crap. We don't want to be stepped upon and used like pawns. We've had enough. We are taking back our freedom and we're killing you with the guillotine. And like, essentially, if you were there and if you were one of the people who ruled, you would have been terrified. And the person who was leading the revolution, the French Revolution, would be your perfect, like, villain. And that is the Joker. He's leading the French Revolution. The problem is that it's not the time of the French Revolution, and the world is not ready to live without rules. And me and my own personal, you know, ways of how I think about modern society, I don't agree with him. I don't want there to be chaos. That's why he's a villain. But in his mind, he's fighting for the little man. And I think, like, one of the coolest things is that he overshadows the main character. You're watching that movie, you don't care about freaking Batman or what he's doing. He's like the least important thing in The Dark Knight.
And that's why I think The Wicked Witch of the West is better. Because in your film, you are literally waiting for him to come back on screen because he captivates you so much. In my film, Dorothy and the Scarecrow are just having a good time. And whenever she comes into frame, you as a viewer are afraid. She's throwing fireballs at the straw man? What the shit? She is screwing everything up. Dorothy's just making new friends and the Cowardly Lion's there. But then she shows up with her flying monkeys. It is just filling you with dread. There is no point when you were a child or now when you watch that film that you aren't filled with dread at the mere mention that, oh shit, this ever looming presence still exists in this beautiful, beautiful world to tear it down. And that is why even the great and powerful Oz, when Dorothy gets there, says, well, I can't help you. How about you go kill the witch for me? Because you're the only one who can do it. And Dorothy's like, I can't do that. But she takes off a Toto. So it's like, well, we got to do it. We got to try. Like, I got to go save my dog.
But you're talking about a very wooden character. She's so bad. She's so dreadful. Everybody hates her. Like, it's boring.
She also could be very misunderstood. You've seen the play Wicked. She, you know, she started out with great intentions.
Wicked created that, you know? Wizard of Oz didn't have that as a character. And I don't know that you can, like, yes, you could play
that she started out. But I don't know if you need those. I don't know if you need much more than, oh my God, like, what makes Vader a great character in Star Wars is that you don't know a lot about him. He is two-dimensional, but you're always afraid of what he can do. And you're, of course, afraid of what the witch can do. She flies in on a broom. She's throwing fireballs. You never know when her flying monkeys who are terrifying are around.
But I
feel
like
that
is
the
essence of being a good villain. I don't think so. I think being a good villain is all about capturing the audience, making them want to see more. I think the essence of being a good villain is making them think. And I love villains. Like, as we've talked about many times before, my favorite television villain is Michael Rosenbaum as Lex Luthor in Smallville, because of the fact that he's always trying to do good and then ends up doing bad because you want to root for him. I was thinking about, for example, Heath Ledger's wake up as the Joker. And I think about it for a minute and immediately my mind goes, he has these scars on his face and he can't stand to look at himself in the mirror because it drives him insane. And I'm already thinking about, what is the Joker thinking about in his head? What did he go out through in his past? And I love the fact that he's chosen a clown. A clown is the imagery that he's going to be, because clowns are both delightful for some and terrifying for others. They are the epitome of two sides of the same coin. One is terrifying, evil, horrible. You never know what they're going to do next. You think of It. Lots of people have fears of clowns. Others, oh, it's funny. It's a little character. They have a smile and they're going to make me laugh and they're going to do silly things. And that is the beauty of him as the Joker. And that's why he's the best character, because you don't even know. He's such a good bad guy. You don't know what type of bad guy you're going to get at any given moment, because he can be anything. He is the clown. He's terrifying and funny. He's delightful and evil.
But then the Dark Knight gives you this
fighting for chaos and fairness.
But then the Dark Knight gives you this ending that is not satisfying at all. It has him doing a monologue upside down. They flip the camera. It's so bizarre and takes you completely away from the fact that you just spent a great deal of time with this wonderful villain, and now this is how they're going to treat him at the end of the film. Whereas The Wizard of Oz, you get this incredible finish where she throws the water and is triumphant as she melts, and you feel, oh, I can breathe again. Oh my gosh, this amazing...
I did not have these feelings watching this.
How did you
this?
Not have these feelings?
First of all, I was never scared of her.
How were you not scared of her? Look at her. She is terrifying.
She didn't look real. There was nothing about her that made me think that in my world, anything like her exists, and so I didn't believe, like, it wasn't
like,
scary.
I genuinely
the Joker is scary
agree.
Because you can walk down the street and see someone like that.
And I agree with you that the Joker is scary, and I really found it an amazing performance. But the one scene I hate in that movie is the final scene we get with him, is him upside down and them writing the damn camera lens thinking this is the topsy-turvy world of him. This is his world askew. And it's ridiculous. His whole thing goes on way too long and you don't care. And Batman still has to go up against Two-Face. And that's the part that is lasting. The best part of Dark Knight is, you know, he's not going to be the hero the city deserves. He's going to be the hero the city needs. And he gets on his bike and we get the Dark Knight and it's like, wow, that was amazing. Because Batman at the end gets to make the choice to be the villain of the whole film, leaving the Joker upside. Like, just, I just love the iconicness so much more of watching your villain get defeated in such a, and what couldn't be, must be the most painful goddamn way to die is melting. Like, it's just like, like,
but even that,
so
melting
shocking.
Is so unrealistic that I don't know that I care.
Because, like, you live in Oz, not Gotham. Oz, you have lions who can talk and dance. You have Tin Men who have no hearts.
That's fair, but if you're talking about what's really going to get me, what's going to make me think that they're a better villain, a two-dimensional villain isn't going to cut it for me. I just don't. I can never buy it. It's not going to work. If you want a villain who's cool, then you give me three dimensions.
I want a villain from start to finish and have a satisfying end, and I think that's a Wicked Witch of the West, and I don't think you and I are going to agree on this.
We won't. We so never do with our nerd battles.
So you have to tell us which is the better villain, and who would you have chosen as the best villain in all of cinema? Please let us know. When I asked for sons... You're a spineless, pale, pathetic lot, and you haven't got a clue. Mr. Owl. Are we recording?
Yeah.
No.
I turned it on the second you started singing. What's that from?
Mulan. Oh. I'm not singing it again. I want to, but I'm not going to.
We're back with TV Talk.
And last week, we asked you to check out HBO's The Night Of. So that's what we watched. It stars John Turturro and Riz Ahmed.
Yeah, I love him. He plays Nas, our lead character, of course.
Our lead character who really just wants to go to a party and ends up stealing his dad's cab to drive into New York. But he doesn't know how to flip the light off on top of the cab, or maybe, I don't know what was going on with that.
I don't know what was going on. Before we even get into the television show, I just want to say that the IMDb page is atrocious.
I know you had a hard time finding Riz.
Yeah, he's only listed as being in two episodes, and there have only been two episodes aired on television at the time of that I'm speaking right now.
I know. I get it.
He's for sure a lead. There's
yeah,
no way.
IMDb is ridiculous.
IMDb is usually so good.
Well, it is the Internet Movie Database, and this is a TV show, so sometimes they just get it wrong.
They never get it wrong.
Oh, well, apparently they did this time. So here's the deal. It's about a college student named Nas who just wants to kind of go to a party. Did you like it?
I loved it. Did you like it?
I liked it a lot. I was on the edge of my seat the whole way through.
Not the whole way through. I wasn't on the edge of my seat, you know, until it happened. And then once it happened.
Like, do we say it?
Yeah, I think we have to. Spoilers. Look, let me just put it to you this way. Hello, podcasters. Hello, Ella friends. If you're listening right now, we're about to get into spoilers.
You haven't seen it.
Yeah, just stop listening. Like, I'm not going to lie to you.
Look at the description and you can just bypass it and go to the next timestamp for our outro.
Right. But if they're listening, they probably, you know what? I'm going to just give you a pass. If you haven't seen it, we're about to say spoilers and it will ruin your watching experience. Stop listening to the podcast for today.
You really want to go into this one not knowing a thing.
Yeah, it just, like, we didn't know anything. I didn't even know what it was about. If you haven't watched it, skip ahead. Do not listen to this segment.
Okay.
Now the spoilers.
So, he meets this girl.
You know, once he takes the drugs, the second he takes that pill into his mouth, that's when I became at the edge of my seat. I knew that the whole night was going to go wrong. I knew that it was a bad decision. Like, yeah, he was going to the party to meet a girl, and he met a girl, so there was no need to go to a party any longer, but you just knew that she wasn't the girl to
meet. Okay, have you ever been on X?
No.
Or whatever the hell they took?
No.
Me neither. If I was ever on a drug that made me think that I could jam a knife in between my fingers like that by holding it over my head and bringing it down?
It's not the drug that made him play with the knife. She made him play with the knife and his like for her.
So what do you think happened?
I don't think he killed her.
There's a knife scene and then she ends up dead.
Yeah.
By like a majillion knife wounds.
Yes. Yeah. So they are playing. They're back at her house. They're playing essentially Russian roulette with like taking a knife from above your head, trying to get in between your fingers.
Well, here's the thing.
And
that
he stabs
one knife,
her. He stabs
that one
her.
Knife did not have enough blood for it to be when he woke up to have it everywhere. Like,
it's not like knives hold on to blood. It's metal. You can wipe it off.
Yeah, but he woke up in the kitchen. The knife was still in the exact place he left it.
Yes.
Which was on the coffee table in the living room. Mm-hmm. They had gone upstairs. That's where she clearly got cut to shit.
Yeah.
When the investigators came, they didn't find a knife up there. They found a knife on him.
Well, that is the knife that I'm sure I'm sure that it's the murder weapon.
There was not enough. There would have been blood all the way down the handle.
No, because the person would have wiped it off. But at least a little.
I mean, you either wipe it off or you don't wipe it off.
When you walk into the house, let's say that there is someone who's going to kill her that night. They walk into the house. They see a knife with a little bit of blood on it. And they go, perfect. That's my weapon of choice. I'm going to do it.
I think somebody came in.
They used a separate knife?
They used a separate knife. They cleaned that knife and took it with them because they saw this knife already had blood on it. So no matter what, that knife has her blood. That knife has his DNA. It doesn't matter.
Except that
his sperm is in her.
The blades have to match, right? So they would do an analysis, and they already talked about it, and that they would ensure that it's, you know, is it serrated? Is it not serrated?
Because they also said, wouldn't be surprised if it was a double-sided. Well, that was a butcher knife. So that's only one side.
That is very true. But they didn't know at that point, but they are going to do the knife analytics. My guess is that is, in fact, the weapon that was used.
How amazing was it when he runs out of the house and forgets his keys?
Oh, my God.
I felt so bad for him.
Like, the thing about the show, like, so once he wakes up and she's dead, that's when officially it starts. Like, you know, the whole up until he wakes up in that kitchen, we're leading up to something. We know something bad is going to happen.
Yeah.
We're just waiting. And then that happens. And then it's almost like a comedy of errors, except that you're not laughing because it's not funny. Because
it's shocking.
Like, it's a comedy of errors that isn't funny because, like, yeah, he freaks out. He sees her. He, like, runs out. He forgets his keys. He gets to the car. He's like, oh no. Then he has to break back into the house, effectively giving himself, like, he's just like, at first you're like, no, don't run out of there. You've left DNA everywhere.
Everywhere.
You need to call the cops because it's too late for you. Like everywhere the DNA is. Yeah. And but then
and
he rests.
Every time he cooperated, I was like, oh my God, this is the worst case scenario. Because if there's anything I've learned from my trashy like paperback novels, it's if you didn't do anything and they think you did, you shut your mouth.
Yeah.
You do not say anything. You do not give them anything. You shut your mouth.
But we're not even there yet. We're not there yet. So he's right now at this point, he's just like running out of the house. And you're like, no, no, no. Your DNA is everywhere. You can't just run at this point. It's too late. Call the cops. But he doesn't. Then he gets to his dad's cab that he stole.
Yep.
And he's like, shit, I left my keys in the house. Then he proceeds to break into the house, leaving more DNA. And at that moment, suddenly thinks, oh, I have my blood and her blood and my fingerprints on this knife.
My semen on this person.
I'm just going to take the knife with me.
Worst idea ever.
Worst idea ever. So what's great is that he wakes up. He doesn't know what's going on. And then he just continues to make these awful decisions. Like, yes. Horrible, horrible decisions. You're screaming at your television. Like, no, don't run away. No, don't take the knife. Do not take the knife.
You've had, like, 8 tequila shots. You've had more drugs. And now you are getting into a cab. What happens? You get pulled over.
And that's the thing. And then when he gets pulled over, you're like, oh, my God, the cops. Oh, my God, the cops. And then that's when his luck starts turning around. And this is where the comedy of errors comes in, because he's like so close to being busted.
Yeah.
For the rest of that episode.
Yep.
And yet, each and every time, something saves him just in the nick of time. But not quite enough.
Not quite enough. I mean,
for a while there, I was like, oh, my God.
I thought he was just going to walk out of that police station.
Well, no, not even the police station. I was convinced that they were, because the police picked
him
up.
They would just let him go.
Yeah, they picked him up because, well, they picked him up. And then they got a call for this break and enter that they had to investigate. They didn't know that it was a murder. And it was the girl's house that he was just at.
Right.
And he's in the back of the police car stuck because you can't leave, you're locked in.
Yep.
At the murder scene, he knows it's a murder, and there the police are like, oh shit, it's a murder in there, I guess it's a bigger deal, what should we do with the kid?
Like,
and
at
I
that
was
point
convinced,
I'm thinking, just cut him loose.
I was like, please cut him loose, cut him loose, cut him loose. And I thought for sure that they would. Like, I was like, this is what's gonna take the first, they're gonna cut him loose, then they're gonna realize, yeah, they cut him loose, then they're gonna go after him.
Yeah.
And that I thought that's where the story was going. But they didn't cut him loose.
They don't cut him loose. They bring him right to the station.
And he's sitting there with blood on his hands.
And now nothing is going on at the station.
Yeah, he's just waiting at the station. But he can't leave. He can't just walk out when you're there. Like,
would have been shocking if he did.
He would have gotten in trouble.
But he is in trouble. He is.
But he didn't realize, like, I think he was like hoping, like, if he just doesn't cause a scene, nobody suspects him for anything. If they can just let him go. Great. And he's looking down at his hands that are covered in her blood because he didn't wipe them off. And he knows, I mean, he's smart, right? He knows that he can't suddenly start
wiping on himself or anything.
Although I don't know why he didn't ask to go to the bathroom.
Yeah. Wipe that off in the bathroom.
Like, go fucking wash your hands. Because
go put the knife in the garbage in there or something.
No, that would be a bad.
No, because I think that garbage is secure and somebody would just come and take the garbage away one day and then it's out in the trash.
That's actually not a bad idea, but I would not.
Where would you park?
I would have taken the knife for
you
one.
Wouldn't take it. But here's my question. You have a dead body in a trunk of a car. Where are you dropping the car off?
In a lake, I guess?
No.
Where are you dropping the car off? Is it your car, first of all?
You are putting your car into a long-term parking lot, paying the fee, and leaving.
Oh.
Who's going to suspect a car in a car parking lot?
Well, when the body's decomposing and they smell it, they will.
Sure. Months later.
Is it months? I don't know how long that would take.
A It depends how well you wrapped it up, I guess. What I'm saying is that nobody's going to suspect to find the murder weapon of something like that in your trash can of the police can.
You're right. You're right. That is actually a very good idea. That's what he should have done. He should have asked to go to the bathroom. He should have just done that, gone
in
there,
put it in. Now, I don't know if there are cameras. Him. I don't know if there are cameras.
There
in,
would be cameras
in a bathroom.
There.
Yeah,
especially in that part of the bathroom. Probably there would be. Anyway, it would be terrifying. I would. I was. Now that you think about it, I was thinking like, oh my God, there must be cameras and police
everywhere.
Stations. I assume.
And because everything points to him, okay, open and shut, right?
It's so screwy that, like, the detective guy, he's brilliant. Let's talk about him for a second.
He knows what to do.
That nice guy act that he has down. He's so manipulative.
We're going to take a penile swab. Can we do that at that time? Is that okay? It would just, there's a lot of paperwork around it. If you know, it'll take another 45 minutes. We can do it now. I was like, don't fucking give him that.
Yeah, don't say yes. Don't but he say just yes kept to saying that. Yes because he's an innocent young man.
That's right.
Who doesn't know any better, who doesn't understand what it means, who hasn't been brought up with fear of police. So he's like,
right.
I should trust them because I am innocent.
And then we get John Turturro walking in as this public defender type guy. Like, he's not a public defender, but it looks like he takes lost causes. And he walks in and he just sees this kid and
God,
he's like,
I love him.
What's going on here?
John Turturro.
Oh, he cut a girl. Oh, okay. I'm going to go talk to him. And he's like, yeah, okay. Just, I'm your lawyer now.
Don't talk to anyone.
And then he walks back up and the ending kills me. He walks back up and he's like, what? He just cut a girl, right? Like accidentally cut a girl. She's dead. And his face of what did I just get into? I have to see like episode 2 right away.
I've already seen it.
Okay, don't tell me a thing. I'm going to watch it. Maybe on my way home. I don't know, but I'm going to watch it. Is it another hour and 18 or
no,
is it just
regular time. I am going to give away one thing.
No, I don't want you to.
No, you do want this.
No, but we're friends. Why would you do that to me?
Because you want me to give this
away. I don't want it. I want to wait. I want to wait.
Well, fine.
Do I look like Blake that you can go and spoil my shows for me all the time?
I'm not actually giving you a spoiler at all.
I don't care.
Fine.
We can talk about it another time. So obviously, we really enjoyed this show. What'd you think about it? And next week, I think we got to go to a movie.
Yeah, definitely.
What are we watching?
Let's watch Invasion of the Body Snatchers.
Ooh, the remake with Donald Sutherland, who you love.
I do love him.
Okay, I'm in. I've never seen this film, so I'm really looking forward to it.
Me too.
All right, so I hope you join us.
Thank you so much for listening, folks. Please be sure to tune in again next week.
And if you'd like to reach out to tell us anything that's ever on your mind, you can check us out at friendselephants.com.
Or Facebook/friendselephants.
Email us at friendswithelephants@mail.com.
Or catch us on Twitter. I'm @itsavanna.
And I'm @JesterJ. Thanks again for spending some time with us. We'll be back again next Monday. Brand new episode, not a mini episode. We'll go full on episode.
Till next time.
Nerd on, Ella friends.